Well, Australia's Trade Minister Dan Tehan will be dispatched to Paris to try and repair the damage caused by this decision to dump the French defence contract amid fears this crisis could sink Australia's proposed FTA with the EU. Dan Tehan, welcome back to Breakfast.
Pleasure to be with you, Fran, and I will be attending the Paris OECD ministerial meeting as I'd planned to do, but also obviously will be very keen to touch base with my French counterpart while I'm in France for the Paris OECD meeting.
Well, you heard the anger there and the offence taken by the French. They feel fooled. They are angry, said the ambassador. He's complained of double language and being kept in the dark intentionally until the last minute. Will you be apologising to the French when you arrive?
Well, look, we understand the disappointment in France at the moment.
Fury is a better word.
Yeah, we understand that the disappointment in France with this decision, but I think also what everyone has to understand is that we've taken a decision which we firmly believe is in our own sovereign national interests, and ultimately that's what governments have to do when it comes to the national interests. They have to act in their own interests, and that ultimately is what we've done. And I look forward to be able to sit down and be able to explain that and clearly work through that, because France also understands the importance of them taking decisions in their national interests. And the friendship that we've had over a century, you know, clearly demonstrates that our interests are mutual, ultimately. We share the same values. We've fought defending those values side by side. And we've worked for over 100 years to build a significant partnership. And I'm sure that over time we'll be able to continue that strong partnership and we'll be able to put this behind us.
How do you answer the question, though, that the ambassador and others have raised about, is this any way to treat a trusted ally and partner? I mean, as the ambassador says, France shared its technological military secrets with Australia over this 18 months and more. And in all that time, that the 18 months or so that this was being discussed and the months this year it's been discussed with the US and the UK, not a word was uttered to France. Why didn't you bring France into your confidence to say you're not happy with the capability, it needs to change, and try and work it through? Why didn't you do that?
Well, there were conversations, as I understand it, that there were some difficulties with the contracts, and those discussions were had.
But in no way has it said that they could lead to an ultimate cancelling of the contract. That's what the ambassador just told it. There have always been discussions, he said, but in no way was it said to us that this could lead to the ultimate cancellation of the contract.
Well, I wasn't privy to those discussions, so I don't know the exact details of those discussions, but there has been conversations about the contract, and ultimately, you know, there was issues with regards to cost overruns. There were issues with regards to timing, as I understand it. So those conversations were being had, and ultimately, when it comes to making a decision in your sovereign national interest, you have to weigh up everything, and you have to weigh up what ultimately is in the best interest of especially the geostrategic environment that we currently find ourselves facing.
Of course, but
that's what the government has done.
Yes, but isn't this clearly a failure of diplomacy if one of our closest allies feels that they were fooled, humiliated, lied to, stabbed in the back? Where is the trust? Where is the sincerity? That's how they're feeling. There's a failure of diplomatic work here, isn't there?
Well, the government has had to take a decision that it thinks is in its sovereign national interest. Now, sometimes these decisions that you have to take, they'll be in your national interest. They might not necessarily be in the national interests of others. But you've got to be prepared to make them. You've got to be prepared to take the tough decisions. And that's what the government has sought to do. We think it's in Australia's national interest how we have acted, and we will always continue to act in that regard, and we'll continue to explain that to France. We understand, especially when it comes to the military relationship that we have with them, that there will be strong disappointment with the decision that we've taken, but we will continue to make sure that they understand why ultimately we've taken this decision.
And does Australia understand there could be ramifications? The European Affairs Minister in France says he can't see how we can trust our Australian partners when it comes to the free trade agreement that's currently being negotiated between the EU and Australia. It would be our second largest free trade agreement, I think, if we did it. Is that now as defunct as the subs deal?
So the 12th round of the EU-Australia free trade agreement negotiations will take place on the 12th of October. I'll be meeting with Valdis Dombrovskis, the EU trade representative, when I travel to Europe in the next couple of weeks. And where there's a strong understanding from my recent trip to Europe to discuss the EU free trade agreement. This is in the mutual interests of both Australia and of Europe. And I see no reason why those discussions won't continue, why those
Can you see a reason why there might not be so much trust underpinning those negotiations, though?
Oh, well, when it comes to free trade agreement negotiations, they're always tough, they're always hard fought, and they're always inked. And I'm sure that we will be able to, over time, reach an agreement on these negotiations. Obviously, we've been in discussions and negotiations for 3 years. With the 12th round, we're starting to get towards the end game. So my hope is we will be able, over the next 12 to 18 months, finalise this agreement.
Minister, on the very day Australia announced it was buying nuclear subs from the US and the UK, China formally applied to join the Trans-Pacific Partnership. You've said Australia won't allow it to do so until it resumes high-level dialogue on issues such as barley and wine trade strikes, which are now before the WTO. But it might help ease tensions if Australia agrees to let China in, and if China's admitted, it would have to abide by the rules for international commerce. Wouldn't China's bad behaviour be constrained?
So, Fran, one of the things about negotiating a cession process of any country into the CPTPP is that you have to be able to sit down and talk about that accession process. We're going through this at the moment with the United Kingdom, and what we've agreed with the United Kingdom is that the bilateral free trade agreement between Australia and the United Kingdom will form the major part of their accession to the CPTPP as far as the individual negotiations with Australia goes. Now, you have to be able to have those discussions at ministerial level to work through those issues. And we've made sure that China understands that we would need to be able to sit down and work through issues with them for their interest to accede to the CPTPP. And in the same way, the CPTPP is the gold standard agreement in the Indo-Pacific. So all countries have made it very clear that given it's a gold standard agreement, any country that wishes to accede to it would have to abide by all the rules and the standards. So whichever country seeks secession will need to make sure that they abide by their WTO commitments, their bilateral free trade agreement commitments, their regional commitments.
Just finally, Minister, your colleague Christian Porter has resigned from Cabinet, but don't voters still have a right to know who contributed to the blind trust which helped pay his legal fees? I mean, what difference does it make if the anonymous donations are made to a minister or a backbencher? We still should know, shouldn't we?
Fran, this is obviously an incredibly difficult time for Christian, for him and his family. He's made a big decision yesterday to resign from the Cabinet. And I think what we need to do now is give Christian the time and space that he needs. He's talked about a mob
mentality. What I'm asking for is, does the Australian electorate have the right to know who an MP is receiving funds for?
Well, Christian has said in his statement yesterday that I'll provide the information required under the members' register of interest. And I think all of us at this time need to just understand these were allegations which were made over 30 years ago. They have not been proven. You've got the right to innocence until proven guilty.
Yeah, that's really not the question. But Minister, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Dan Tehan is the Federal Trade Minister.